Okay, I hope everybody's opened up to Perek Vav, Pasuk Ches. That's where we left off last week in our analysis of the sixth chapter of Megillas Esther. What's amazing is to me is that every single time we learn Megillas Esther, or you like look at one Perek, you're like, wow. If they remove that Perek or that detail, the story would have never happened, or we wouldn't have gotten the same results at the end. And that is true about every single detail that is mentioned. This almost, I can't say, there's nothing, right? And if there is, we think of something, then we have to figure it out. And it's superfluous in the Megillah story. Each aspect, each nuance, each twist and turn builds off the other. It builds off the other. The party to the Mishteh Nashim, every detail. If you don't have that, we can't move forward in the story. Yeah. That's right now. Big time. Big time and little time. No, big time and Teresh. Okay. So big time and Teresh, why, where did they come from? Why is it necessary? Then we wouldn't have known about that. Mordechai would not have gotten rewarded right now. That's what we're up to right now. Yeah. Okay, so honey, I hear your question. We will answer it today. Okay? Good. Chapter 6 begins with Achashverosh can't sleep at night. Why can't he sleep at night? Because his wife, who he loves so much, who he's had such a deep and long and affectionate relationship with, not really, but I guess in his worldview he has. And she keeps inviting him to these parties with Haman also invited. And it's so weird. She risks her life to invite him to a party, just to invite him to another party. What's going on here? He can't sleep in. He can't sleep in. As while this is happening, right, Mordechai is clueless as to what's going on. All he knows is they did their part. They dive in the fast for 3 days. And he's waiting for like an answer. And Haman has a new plan in which his wife advised him to make a tree 50 amos high to hang Mordechai on, because that's the way we get rid of the Jews one at a time, especially we'll begin with the leaders. So Haman can't sleep at night. Also, Midrashim point out, we said, everybody can't sleep at night because when you don't know what's going to happen next, right, we have anxiety, we can't sleep at night, we're nervous about everything else. So Achashverosh asks that he has readers that read to him at night. So I guess before they had Audible. When he had Audible, I guess someone could read to him. Okay, now actual people read to him. And they're reading to him. And while this is happening, Haman is pacing outside of his bedroom. And they tell him that somebody saved his life. His name was Mordechai. Mordechai was never rewarded for this amazing, great deed to save the country. So then Haman jumps in. What's going on here? Mi b'chatzer. Hi, it's Haman. What's going on? I have a great idea. You have a great idea? Pause for a moment. I need to ask you a question. So, honey, now this is just a snippet, right? Snippet. See, if there was no Mordechai to save right now, they would have a conversation and they would move on. Right? Haman wants to tell him, let's murder Mordechai. And Achashverosh has no reason to say no. Does he ever say no in Megillah? No. Whenever someone has an idea, he does it. He doesn't come up with ideas on his own. He lives like a fantasy life. I think sometimes as adults, we only wish at some people could just make all the decisions for us. We don't need to make decisions. It could be nice on a certain way, on a certain wavelength, that all decisions are made for us. right? People go on vacation sometimes, and some people like to vacation. I don't want to make decisions.
Oh, coming today. What are you talking about?
The Megillah. That's what we're talking about. Okay. See, people don't like to make decisions when they're on vacation. That's their break. Okay, that might mean they're going to go out for dinner, right? You have to think about it. Like, you want to clear your mind. Other people are like, no. They like to be involved in all decisions. Okay, different people. So, you know, Ahasuerus did not make a decision his whole life. So that's maybe fantasy worlds, but also that's not healthy. You're the king. The bottom line is, when you become a leader, you take responsibility for the decisions that you make. Ahasuerus is a machlokas in the Gemara. Melech Chachamaya, Melech Tipeshaya, right? It could be that he was a little bit of both. Maybe he uses Chachma in the very wrong way. You can't just say, oh, advisor, right? Good. No. Buck stops with you, not with them. Yes.
Not only for his decisions, once the decision was made, you couldn't change the decision. Right? Even if they decided that it would now take the degree of war from the Jews, they couldn't.
No decision could be made. Yeah.
So that's how far he went with things. He could never reverse that. Once the decree was made, you had to fulfill the decree, even to the point where everybody went to war with each other.
Yeah. I spoke of that at the women's shiur a little bit on Shabbos afternoon about why did Hashem make it that he didn't rescind the first letter, but he had to make it that the Jewish people fought against everyone. Okay, but not for now, but that's maybe we'll get to it. Maybe we'll get to it. Okay, so he says, Haman says, you have a question? I have a question. Good. Pasuk Zayin, we'll begin with. Vayomer Haman al Melech, Ish Asher HaMelech Chafitz Bikaro. Ahasuerus says, what should we do with somebody whom the king wants to give honor to? And he says, Ish Asher HaMelech. Oh, I'm flattered. He must have turned red, right? Like, I don't know what to say, but I have an idea. It's like he's been thinking about this his entire life, right? Yaviu levush machus asher levush ba melech. Why doesn't he wear the king's clothing? Let him wear the king's clothing. Vesus asher rachav alav hamelech. I want all in, if you're a sports fan, one of the most expensive, besides for going to games, things you could purchase is a game-worn jersey, right? Right? The Melech wore the jersey. I could smell like Michael Jordan's sweat in the jersey. And that costs a lot of money. Okay. If you have grandchildren and you really love them, okay. But good. So, Mashir Nasan, Haman really wants game-worn clothing, right? He wants that the person that, you know, the king wants to honor, he should wear the king's clothing. King for the day, right? And the king for the day, the king, it's a close fit, right? So I want to wear lavush. I want to use not a brand new sus. I want to use what the king uses. I want the bulletproof, you know, horse. That's what I want. And this is the kicker. And this should have been a sign to Ahasuerus that you're a mechutzaf. And to wear the king's crown. What? Are you serious? Would any king in his right mind accept that? That seems to be extremely inappropriate. I want to just acknowledge right now that Yanush is sitting with us. This is nothing short of a perm miracle. Yanush, happy birthday. And I am, it's amazing that I was afraid to acknowledge it right away. But I'm happy that you're sitting and learning with us today. Okay. So now what does he, he continues for one more and then we'll see what his response is. V'nason ha-levush v'asus al-yad ha-ish misarei ha-melech apart to him. And then I want somebody that works in the king's office. One of the nobility to dress this individual. Put the clothing on him, dress him. And walk him around in the streets of the city. Right? I want this to, Rechov Ha'ir generally meant like there was one main drag every city used to have. So today, many cities, Times Square, right? Times Square, Shushan Square, whatever that was, in Rechov Ha'ir. This way, everybody gets to see. The Karulafanov. And we're going to call out before this person, Kacha Ye'asela Ish, Asher Hamelech Chafet Bikara. Right? And the good Baal Kori is going to yell this pasuk out and say it louder than everything else. Kacha Ye'asela Ish. Because that's what Haman wanted. Haman wanted a guy that dressed as a palace official that worked right under Ahasuerus to walk him around while he was wearing all Levush Malchus. And he would walk around and say, this is the guy, right, that the king loves so much. Yeah. While Mendy's asking this question, please put one hand on, keep it one spot on where we are, and turn to page 1064. Yeah.
One hand is a decree to say, at this point, all the Jews are getting killed.
Yeah.
Now he's saying, look at this Jew.
He has no idea. He thinks it's him. He has no idea.
No. I'm saying, from his perspective, to do this, doesn't he know that Mark is doing this for Mordechai, who's a Jew?
Let's see his response. I hear what he's saying. And if, does Ahasuerus really hate the Jews? I don't know. So I don't know how much cheshbonos he has when he's thinking about.
It's also for the people, also, you know, giving them a whole year to, in their minds to say, how am I going to now deal with the Jews? My next neighbor is a Jew. How am I going to deal with them for the next year? And now he's saying, I'm going to kill them. And then we're going to parade this Jew through the streets because he's a hero.
It's yeah. Like, this within itself is like one, like it's upside down, right? 100%. So where are we now in 1064? We're in the middle of Parshat Kitetse. So you're going to tell me, oh, Kitetse, right? Relating from Kitetse, this Shabbos. Parshat Zachor is the end of Kitetse. It's one more page. We're not going there. But I want to show something to you that I heard from Rabbi David Foreman. Rabbi David Foreman, I'm sure many people have heard of him already. He spoke in the shul a few years ago. He is one of the foremost leaders in the world in Tanakh. And I had the special privilege of learning with him when I was in Gruss. Gruss is why he's called in Israel. And he was supposed to, with his family, make Aliyah that year. And we started learning how to learn Chumash and Tanakh with him. I spoke too soon. I should have held out. We would have stayed longer. So... Okay, so, and we learned how to learn Chumash with him. The only other person that Rabbi Miller, who's Rosh Kolel, brought in to the boys to teach the young men of the Kolel to learn Tanakh with was Nechama Leibowitz. And she used to, the Kolel guys in Gross would learn with her. And since she passed away, until Rabbi Foreman, he couldn't really, he said he couldn't find a replacement. What was great about that shiur is that all of our wives were invited to join us. So like, I think it was Sunday nights and Sunday evenings at the end of the afternoon Seder, and we go to like a conference room because he was on Skype. Does anybody remember Skype? Okay. So he was on Skype when that was like the way that you connected through video, and he taught us. This is before he wrote any of his Sfarim. But a lot of what he taught us really is in a lot of his books, especially the Esther. He has one Esther called The Queen That You Thought You Knew. So here we're talking about the mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum. And what does Haman say? Haman says, parade this guy around, and I want the person who works for the king to announce, Kacha ye'aseh le'ish, asher ha-melech ha-fis bikara. There's only one other time in Tanakh that that phraseology is used, and that is in the context of Yibam Sesh Chalitza. So we're going to look at the pasuk now, and you tell me who wrote the Megillah? Esther Hamalka. So when Esther was writing the Megillah, what was she doing? Borrowing the phrase from the Torah about Haman's speech. What was she really trying to share about his intentions? So if you look at Pasuk Tes, V'nigasha yivimto elav le'nezekina. So we could spend probably hours, if not days, on these 11 psukim. 11 or, sorry, about 8 psukim dealing with Yibam. It's a whole masechta in Shas called Yivamos. And what happens is a woman loses her husband. They are childless. And now that husband had a brother who was alive at the time. And now she goes to Beis Din. And she could do Chalitza or Yibam. So V'nigasha Yivimto. Yivimto is the name of the woman, right? Nigasho Yivimto, the sister-in-law, approaches she goes in front of the Zakenim, the Chaltana Alo Me'ara Glo, V'yara Kalafanav, right? What does she do? She says, she takes off her shoe and she spits before her brother-in-law. And she says, V'ansa V'amra, Chalitza means I don't want to be married. Kacha ye'aseh le'ish asher lo yivneh es beit chachif. Kacha, this is what you do when to a man who we choose who will not build the house of his brother. So to say, actually, if you look at the trup, it's the exact same trup. Kitetz is my permissive partner, so I'm a little bit more sensitive to this. It's kacha ye'aseh le'ish asher. Right, kacha yetzalich is the same exact trup as the Megillah. What is Esther trying to reflect on Haman? What are your thoughts? I think what Rabbi Foreman, any thoughts?
It's been a class in the Torah when they go to the union with Chalitza and all that. So that would be the end of that family line. If the brother doesn't settle up and all that kind of thing. So with Haman, then he would be causing the end of the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're saying this is more of a global thing. It's not about what Haman wants for himself, but if he continues through, he's a person that's chafetz to destroy, to knock down the Jewish home. And that's what he's intending to do over here.
But it's on the opposite. The Chalitza, you know, she's removing his shoe and then she's spitting.
Right, so they seem to be the opposites, right? They seem to be that Haman is saying, I want so much kavod. The king really, really wants me. And here she's saying, where it's being declared that this guy is not wanted by this woman. Okay? So it could be that is the message here. She is giving like almost like a shtach to Haman by phrasing it the same exact way. She's saying, Haman, we know what you want. You want to be kacha yesel ish asher yivnes beisachim. You want to be somebody that continues and perpetuates the name, right? From, you want to usurp. Essentially, you want to, what's yivam? You replace somebody with somebody else. You take one person, right? The dead brother. And now you replace him. Some people even say, like, the first child this marriage should have must be named after the dead brother, right? You're bringing him back. The Alpi Kabbalah, the neshama of the dead brother, goes into the one that's alive. So you're really bringing it back. And that's really what Haman wanted. Haman wanted Ahasuerus gone, so he could be the one in charge. And what's Esther really saying in such a subtle way to only people that know the Torah? We're spitting in your face. We, right? You're not wanted by anybody. It's not the end of the line for Mordechai. This story is going to be the end of the line for you. Right? You look at it broader, in a broader perspective, we have the house or the family is mentioned a few times. Most prominently, Mordechai says to Esther, just one parak, sorry, two prakim earlier, parak dalid, Mordechai says to Esther, you know, Esther, I'm not really sure why you're here right now as the queen with Ahasuerus, but the Jewish people, their lives are on the line. Ki macharish acharishi beis azos, revav chatzala yamod ha-yehudim mimakom acher. And if you're quiet right now, I know the Jewish people are going to survive. I know things are going to go on with or without you. But it could be, mi yodea, it could be that the entire reason that you are here is to save the Jewish people. But if you don't, if you don't even try, at ubeis avich toved, you and your family. It's very dramatic. Sends chills down my spine every single year when we lay in this pasuk. What's atu beis avich toved? This is really part of a broader discussion here. What happened if we just go back a few generations when Haman is introduced? He's introduced as Haman ha Agagi. This connects to our Monday morning learning, which is the story of Shaul and Agag. Shaul failed in murdering and killing Agag. Who did Mordechai come from? From Shaul's family. Then Kish, Ishimini. Kish is Shaul's father. So, and these two, Esther and Mordechai, are related. So, this is part of a broader picture here. Who's going to be the one to fulfill in the name of their family's house? Who's going to be able to perpetuate the name? Is it going to be Agag, or is it going to be, you know, Shaul? Esther, Mordechai, and Haman. This is now playing itself out in a different generation, but it's something that goes much deeper. So the notion and the subtlety of Yibam here has a lot of meaning for these two families. And when Esther is writing the Megillah with her Ruach HaKodesh, she is saying, history is choosing to spit on you, Haman. History is choosing to take your shoe off, right, and say, we don't want you. Even though what you are yelling, right, you are saying so loudly to Ahasuerus is, right, so that's the omek apshat, the depths of the simple understanding of the psukim here in the sixth chapter. Okay, let's continue. So now, how does Ahasuerus react over here? Because Mendy said Ahasuerus is completely okay with the Jewish people being murdered and killed. Mashmid la'rog le'abed. So, and now, and he knows he's talking about Mordechai. And Haman thinks he's talking about himself. So what is the response over here? Vayomer HaMelech laHaman. Maher, kachas alavush, v'yesasus, kasher divarta. He doesn't even say yes. Quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Vaseichem leMordechai haYehudi. Does Achashverosh even realize how much of a dagger this is to Haman's heart? Can you feel bad for Haman a little bit or no?
No.
No one feels bad. Okay. Good. Yeah.
Who's going to alleviate his guilt? It's very self-important. So, Haman, not Haman, could have been anybody. He
didn't
care. He just cared
to get the blood. Right. Mordechai I don't think every single time Mordechai is mentioned, then Megillah says Mordechai ha-Yehudi, the Jew. This isn't just any random guy or any random Jew that we are giving a reward from the king. This is the Jew. You know the guy that, the only guy that doesn't bow down to you? That's the guy that you are now going to, you're going to clothe him yourself. He's going to take off his clothing and you, Haman, are going to put his clothing on. You're going to dress him. Okay? V'aseichein l'mordechai yudhi ha'yishei b'shar melech al tapel davar mikol asher divarta. You're going, do not, right? Leave out one detail. Everything that you said. Not that I said. I don't remember it. Achashverosh, his memory is probably very fleeting because he's doing something which seems to fly in the face of something he just did much earlier with the Jewish people. And he dresses him. If he says no now, if he says no, what would happen? What? He'd be killed. See, Haman still thinks, so Haman's still playing the long game here. Because Haman still has a standing invitation to a party with Esther and Achashverosh. So even though this is a snag in his plan, he still gets private time with the two of them, in which he could continue his agenda. Vayarkiveu berchov ha'ir. Vayikra lefanav. And he declares out loud, "Kacha yeasela ish asher hamelach chafitz bikaro." And this is what the king does to someone that he wants, almost like saying, "Right, this is like the king is creating like a yibum state with this person." Right? Why would the Megillah need to repeat these words? We know exactly what Haman asked Achashverosh should do. It's not lo yivne because this is actually happening. So, by this happening, Mordechai now has created, not his own doing, a stronger connection with Achashverosh. Vayashav Mordechai el shar hamelech. So he does the job. He probably, you know, Mordechai himself doesn't care for this. It probably takes a minimal amount of time. And then what happens? Mordechai goes back to shar hamelech. What's he doing to Shahar Melech? He's wearing sak ve'efer. He's publicly mourning the destruction of the Jewish people. V'haman nidchaf el beso. Avel v'chafui rosh. Haman goes back home, sad, an avel. That's strong language. V'chafui rosh, and his head is like bent down. Some understand Chafoy Rosh is that his head was very messy. The Gemara Megillah shares here that people came out of their windows to see what was happening with this horse and the person wearing the king's clothing. And when they realized what was happening, so Haman's daughter said, oh, my father's plan really worked. My dad is on the horse. It must be Mordechai leading the horse. So she took out the garbage pail from inside the home and she poured it on his head. Okay?
It's interesting they don't have, yes, it says here he went home and he was upset all of that, spoke with his wife. But when, it's interesting that there's not an initial reaction. He couldn't say no to Ahasuerus. That was already established that he would not get killed. But the guy must have had a heart attack when Ahasuerus said, oh, great idea to do this to Mordechai. And it's interesting that there's not even like a half of us that says anything about his initial reaction.
Right. Long game. Yeah. Well, we'll see here. I think this is a very, well, they're all key, but here. Vayisaper Haman lozeres ishto ulechol ha'ohavav. See, he goes back home and the chevra is there. His wife is home and the is ohavav. Why is that important? Because if you jump back to the end of Perek Hey, you'll see that at the end of Perek Hey, he was just invited to one party and then to a second party. And what's his perspective there? But Tomer lo zeres ishto v'chol ha'avav. He showed off to everybody that was in his house. Who was in his house? He had his wife and all of his followers. And they told him, make a tree to hang Mordechai on. It was their idea. And now he's going home, and the same chevra is there. And he smells like garbage. He doesn't look good. He's a mess. He didn't sleep the night before. Right? Now, he didn't sleep at all because he was so excited about this idea. So he runs from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And now he's coming home. And now he's coming home without sleeping. His ohavav are probably there. They want to find out what happens. And he tells them everything. He's called Asher Karahu. Why is that important language? Karahu here, that's the language that Amalek uses. Asher Karcha Baderech. Everything for Amalek is incidental, accidental, just happens on its own. Vayomru lo chachamav. V'zeres yishto. His wise friends and Zeresh's wife say the following. Im mizera ha-Yehudim Mordechai. If Mordechai is one of those Jews, asher hachilota linpolafanav, that you've already began to fall before, lo tuchalo, you're not going to be able to overcome him. Kinafol tipol lefanav. You will surely fall before him. All right? It is not a... It's not a maybe, but it's a definite that you will fall before him. Okay? I just want to highlight this also. This is pretty amazing. Nafol tipol lefanav is not very often used in the Torah. And here, also in Parshas Ki Tetzé, Torah says the following. It's a mitzvah of ma'akeh. It's a mitzvah of ma'akeh. That if you have a roof or a porch and it's a certain size, there's a mitzvah that there has to be a fence around. Now why? And you even make a bracha on the thing about a deck. It has to be a certain amount of inches or feet off the ground. And you'd make a bracha. Ki tivne bayis chadash v'asisa ma'akeh l'gagecha. If you build a new home, you have to make a ma'akeh on your roof. V'lo tasim damim v'esecha. Why? We don't want blood on your home. You should be responsible. And there shouldn't be things in your home that are dangerous. Ki yipol hanofel mimen. Same language here by Zeresh. What's the pshat? Kipol hanofel mimenu means it's not a maybe. It's not if somebody's going to get hurt. It's when somebody's for sure going to get hurt if there's no fence around your roof that everybody can walk on. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen. Therefore, you're responsible. So what is Zeresh say? If Mordechai is this Jew that you're speaking about, he's from the Jewish people, you are for sure going to fail. There's not a question it's going to happen. What a great wife. Here's the chizik that I need, right? Zero chizik. The Tolna Rebbe, shall live and be well, of Yerushalayim, has a few svarim, out on Chumash and the Moadim, and he makes just a sharp point here. He says, you see from this pasuk, the greatest difference between Mordechai and Esther and Haman. Mordechai and Esther are, at least Mordechai, is sitting in the Shar HaMelech. His clothing is ripped. He has ashes on his forehead. And he's crying. But does that stop him? No. That doesn't stop him. He continues to persevere. And he continues to try to find ways to save the Jewish people. Because when the Jewish people are knocked down, we get up again, right? We are resilient. What do you see here? They're knocked down. Stay down, honey, right? Don't try to get up. It's not worth it. Okay, of course, Haman's going to try. We're going to see he's going to try. But that's the perspective, like we'd say in the Lam D'Shatot, that's the Hanacha. That's where they're, that's their starting up point. Starting up point is, it's not worth it. This is an amazing report. Rav Fendel, I forget his first name, he's the Rosh Yeshiva of the Hezer Yeshiva in Sderot. And we met with him a few weeks ago. And we met with him on the roof of Sderot. It's a very beautiful place to be for a lot of reasons. And he shared with us a vort. He said the word nekama. It's a word that a lot of Jews have been thinking about since October 7th. Nekama means revenge. He says the greatest type of nekama is the shorish. Where does the word nekama come from? Lakum. To get up and to continue your life. The greatest nekama is, I'm not going to let you knock me down. Right? You bend, but you don't break. That's the Jewish people. We bend and we don't break. Oda medabri mimo. See, we're going to stop here because we're learning Perek Vav. Next year, Bezrat Hashem and Yerushalayim, we'll continue with Perek Zayin. And he's still talking. He's still talking with them, but he has a date. Where does Haman need to go? He has to go to the second party. So he has to go to the second party. Odam medabrim imo v'sarisei hamelach higiyu v'yavhilu la'avias haman ela mishteh asher atasa Esther. And they have to bring him to the party. V'yavhilu means they rushed. They grabbed him and Haman was in a rush. If you noticed earlier, when he brings Achashverosh tells him to go help out Mordechai and get him dressed, maher, quickly. Haman, on this day, which is a very, very important day in his life, where he thinks he's in the top of the world, he hasn't slept now, he's been rushing from one thing to the next. This has all taken place over a 24-hour period. One day, he's meeting with Esther and the king, invited to a second party. That's a day later. 24 hours in between are a huge, giant mess for him. Wow. He doesn't sleep, and he's running around from place to place to place, and he smells.
I'm doing something.
He smells.
I'm almost finished.
He hasn't showered, right? And he's plucked out of this place to go to a party now. So he is completely, completely not thinking straight. If he's been anything but methodical the entire time, plotting and planning very slowly, planting ideas in Achashverosh's, you know, mind and finding favor in him. And he thinks finding favor in Esther's eyes. But now in Perek Zayin, things will completely unravel. And part of it has to do with every detail up until now, that he is now just a mess. When we can't sleep and we're not sleeping and we're rushing around, we can't think clearly, right? What do doctors say if you can't sleep at night and you drive a car? It's like worse than driving drunk. Not advocating for, God forbid, but that's how bad it is. If you didn't sleep at night and then get into a car and drive on the highway, you're not there. Yeah, clear. Haman himself is going to the most important meeting of his life with half a brain, if not, and no emotional capacity. And that's going to not serve him well when he's going to be accused of things that he was doing and he has no way of hiding. So you see how Hashem is running and pulling the strings, every detail after every detail, but very much, you know, behind the scenes. Okay.
How many of them are going to get less and less? Because when they